A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, 17 August 2021. So we'll be continuing from this book, The Essence of Ink.
Meaning.
We are at page 365. We'll continue from there. Because we will now, as usual, proceed with our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So we are off the light. And we will have all half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of awareness. And stabilize this awareness. Just silence everything. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to think. Just relax. Maintain awareness for as long as you can until this awareness needs to stabilize. And use it to meditate. The last support is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. No more thought interfering. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Now I will set the alarm for half an hour. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. And try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to use to live your daily life and to apply them to develop the daily mindfulness meditation. Sati, Sampajana, and the rest of it to cultivate all of Dhamma. Although some people do not consider themselves spiritual practitioners, they have mastered the art of patience and are able to create good karmic affinity with others due to their pleasant temperament. For example, Dr. Chang Yuling, Superintendent of Yuli Shiji Hospital. He is always smiling at everyone. Not only does Superintendent Chang have a very heavy workload, in addition to seeing patients at the hospital, he also regularly travels to remote areas to treat poor and disabled patients. There is also a Dr. Chang who has returned to Taiwan from the United States and has worked in Yuli Shiji Hospital for many years. He and Superintendent Chang share the same sense of mission. So the two of them often work together to hold free clinic or make home visit to the patient. One such patient was Mr. Zhong, a 96-year-old man. Of his 7 children, 6 were working in other cities. And his remaining daughter in Yuli was married. So Mr. Zhong lived alone in the mountains. Although he was healthy at his age, it was hard to move around. So the medical staff of Yuli Shiji Hospital would often go to his house to see him. One day, Dr. Chang and a nurse went to visit Mr. Chong. When they arrived, they discovered that Mr. Chong's hand and feet were red and swollen. Dr. Chang immediately said to Mr. Chong, "Your hands and feet are swollen and must be treated right away." "Displeased," Mr. Chong said, "there is no need. I study herbal medicine. I can heal myself." The medical staff told him directly, "You cannot continue to treat your current condition with herbal medicine alone." At this, Mr. Zhong became angrier and stubbornly refused treatment. After Dr. Chong returned to the hospital, he discussed Mr. Chong's condition and stubbornness with Superintendent Chang, who immediately went to visit Mr. Chong. Upon his arrival, Superintendent Chang politely made a 90-degree bow and greeted him warmly in Japanese, which was the language that Mr. Chong was most familiar with. Being treated with such respect made Mr. Chong very happy, and the two quickly warmed to each other. As they chat, Mr. Chong mentioned, "I study medicine too." Superintendent Chang asked with delight, "Oh, really? What type of medicine?" "Chinese herbal medicine." "I think Chinese medicine is good," Superintendent Chang continued to speak to Mr. Chong in a very complimentary manner. Later, Mr. Chong showed his hand to Superintendent Chang and said, "Look, I treat my hand with my own herbal medicine." Then Mr. Chang said, "May I take a look?" "Yes." Superintendent Chang saw that Mr. Chong's hand was not only red and swollen, it was also covered with a rash, which had to be itching very badly. Superintendent Chang then picked up a cotton ball draped with rubbing alcohol and asked, "May I disinfect this area for you?" Then the answer came, "Sure." As he disinfected the area, Superintendent Chang said, "Mr. Chong, herbal medicine is good, but based on your current symptom, the wound on your hand will likely fester. May I apply some ointment for you?" Then the reply came, "Of course," Mr. Chang replied readily. Superintendent Chang immediately applied the ointment. After a week, Mr. Chong's hand had healed completely. When Superintendent Chang went to visit him again, Mr. Chong smiled brightly and joyfully. This story shows how applying patience dissolved Mr. Chong's stubbornness. So this is a very good example of applying skillful means, noble effort path, to understanding a person's personality and approaching him with respect and understanding. So sometimes we have to use our understanding, skillful means, to approach a situation or a person. Otherwise, it's not easy. In particular, this situation where the patient is 96 years old and he must have this weird character which doesn't like people to like say you must go for treatment. This is serious whole thing. He doesn't like to be like threatened or asked to do things. So the approach is very important. So this Superintendent Chang, I think he has done it well. Okay, we read on. "In addition, by practicing patience, we can train ourselves to broaden our mind. Be patient. We do not mean enduring something until we cannot take it anymore." This is precisely what I'm trying to tell you. Patient endurance with wisdom, not with delusion. Not accept and just agree to what people do. No, you accept him for what he is, at peace, then you act. But of course, when you act, you must have the understanding, the skillful means to break the ice or to resolve the issue amicably so that you can communicate with them or talk to them in a very nice manner. So these are all skillful means. So this understanding is very important. "Be patient," we do not mean enduring something until we cannot take it anymore, but rather reaching a state where we do not feel like we are enduring anything at all, because it's done with understanding. That even when we are being patient, we do not feel like we are enduring anything. This is because we can accept and let go of anything that does not go our way. With this all-embracing mindset, We are able to view everything as a natural part of life. That's why when you can accept everything as natural, that is the highest wisdom. I used to share with some Kayamitas. I had one teacher who told me, he said, "Teo, this is very good. I have used it for very long. If you can live life this way, it will help you." Then I was very interested. Then I asked, "What was it?" He said, "We choose accept everything as natural." The moment I heard that sentence, I rejoiced. I said, "Thank you so much, Achan." I said, "This is most profound." That's why from that day onward, I apply that understanding. Everything is just the way it is. Like the Buddha said, condition like that, things will be like that. That is the reality. Causes and conditions already said, it cannot be otherwise. So we have to accept that reality. So whatever arises based on nature's law, that's why we have to accept them as natural. Then we act with wisdom and understanding. When we are able to view everything as a part of nature or natural part of life, then we have wisdom. In addition to being patient, we must also be diligent. Life is impermanent. Since we are fortunate enough to have the chance to listen to the Buddha Dharma, we must cultivate diligently and do not waste any time. For those who see the urgency of this reminder is very appropriate. Thus it said, the indolent, the lazy, develop a heart of diligence. Then the mentally scattered develops a heart of samadhi. Samadhi is a heart that is composed and unwavering. Samadhi and meditation can be practiced in our daily living, carrying firewood or water, speaking, moving, interacting with people, or handling any matter can all be done in the form of meditation. So this is daily mindfulness. You can be mindful throughout the day while doing whatever chores or duty or work. You can be aware and mindful of all your action and movement. Then that is meditation. Because ability to be in the state of awareness or mindfulness is meditation. When you are mindful and aware, you are not lost in thought. When you are not lost in thought, you have clarity. You are with your true mind. You are with your true nature. So that is what meditation is all about. So what the author mentioned here, samadhi and meditation can be done in our daily living, is true. That's why I say while carrying firewood, when you arise, your hand bend down and lift the firewood, everything is with mindfulness and awareness. Then how you put them, whether on your shoulder or carry it on your hand or whatever, be mindful, be aware. While carrying water, same. Speaking, acting, moving, interacting, everything is with mindfulness and heedfulness. Or handling any matter can all be done mindfully. That's why it's a form of meditation. If we can sweep away our scattered thoughts, we can use skillful positive thoughts to aim ourselves properly on the direct bodhisattva path. So this one needs training. You cannot just sweep away your scattered or heedless thinking. Then arise positive thought to walk the bodhisattva path. It's not this way. This is easier said than done. The cultivation of it is very important. That's why initially is to cultivate this mindfulness, awareness. Awareness-based meditation to realize your true mind, to stabilize your mind so that it does not wander off. It does not become heedless and lost in thought process. The heedless think a lot. They are always lost in thought, preoccupied in their thought process. Their mind is busy reacting to sense experience, worrying, planning, thinking, because they have not trained their mind to be with the moment, to be aware. They do not understand that they have a true mind that can be just aware, mindful without thought. So all this need training. An ability to train yourself to be peaceful, to be aware, to be mindful and heedful is meditation. That's why we have this awareness-based meditation to train ourselves to be aware of our true mind, our true nature, so that we don't think. If we cannot be aware, we will think. And why do we think? That is a very good question. If you inquire, how does thinking come about? Why do I think? Why does living being think? Who think? What think? If you inquire clearly, deeply, and want to understand how does thought arise, then you can find out that investigation is very important. In fact, a lot of people just give up and tell me, Brad, how can you don't think? How can human being don't think? I go a classmate. He saw I'm very peaceful and everything I can calmly resolve and do a lot of things. Then he one day approached me. He said, actually, I want to know how you meditate. He said, what is meditation? I said, meditation is very simple. Relax, maintain awareness, and silent. What do you mean? He said. I said, okay, let's do it this way. Don't think. Don't do anything. He tried, you know. He said, you crazy. Where can don't think on? He said, before I even close my eye, I have so much thought going on. He said, I said, now I know why you cannot meditate. Actually, before he said that, I never knew human being think a lot until now. He said, he cannot be in even one moment without thought. Yeah. Then I say, when you sleep, can you shut off? He said, cannot. I dream. Then I got phobia. I got fear. I find it very difficult to have deep sleep or good sleep. He said, I have to take sleeping pill. He has insomnia. He has panic attack and all those things. So human beings tend to have a lot of this type of problem. So to have the ability to meditate is a skill that you have to acquire. It's not easy, but it's a very useful skill. It's a very useful asset. So if you can do that, you will be most beautiful. Okay, we go back to the sharing. If we remain on this course without going astray, firmly establish our resolve and prevent our mind from being affected by external. We have a heart of samadhi. So this one again is the same, easier said than done. If you can remain on this course without going astray, means no heedless thinking, firmly establish on your resolve, prevent our mind from being affected by external condition, means you already train, you already have the skill, you already have the mind of a cultivator, means samadhi. But this one cannot come through talking or through idea or through like rationalizing or knowledge. This one you need to understand and train. Then if you look at the teaching, let's say you don't know how to start. Never mind. The inquiry can start with the teaching. What did the Buddha say under the teaching? Why does a person think along, become heedless? The Buddha said because they lack the five spiritual faculties. Because of that, the five mental hindrances arise. And mental hindrances are mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. Well, that is the meditative mind, and that is your true mind. So knowing that, how do we start? We start cultivating the five spiritual faculty, which is not straightforward. That process itself take a while, need a lot of faith in the Buddha's teaching. And this faith come from understanding who the Buddha is and how unique the being he is and how wonderful his teaching is. Then with the faith, you need to strive on diligently with the virya. Where the faith will drive you to cultivate when you see the importance. Then that virya is the one that push you or give you the energy, the diligence to cultivate the mindfulness, sati, which is to be aware without thought, which is to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness until thinking subsides. That's how you do it. And to be aware means to anchor your awareness to all your kaya. When you are with your kaya, you cannot think. Where your mind can only do one thing at a time. When it's aware of something, it cannot think. It cannot be lost in thought. That's why a lot of people who don't know how to meditate, you know what they do. They go and focus and concentrate their mind. Because when they fix it on something or concentrate it on something or focus it on something, then they realize they cannot think. So this is what we call mechanical, repetitive. That's why they come up with method and technique to anchor the mind so that it does not wander off. And that is how they fix the mind. And you have to let the mind do something, either focus or concentrate. So keep on focusing, keep on. And that mind become dull because it develops energy field. It cannot be quiet on its own. And that is concentration meditation, not awareness-based meditation. Awareness-based meditation, you have to relax, then let things be. Let the thought arise. After a while, it will cease to be. But all this need energy. If you don't allow mental energy to go into the thinking stops. Then when the thinking stops, you will realize your true mind. And that's basically what awareness is, meditation is. Without thought, the awareness mind come out, the awareness through mind surface. And when you can be with that without thought, that is what meditation is. So this is something you have to learn and develop it. So what I explained to you is very important. Don't be just gullible, read this and say, oh, the book say, I must prevent my mind from being affected by external. So don't want to see, don't want to hear, don't want to smell, don't want to think, don't want to do all those funny things. No, if you do that, that is suppression of thought. That is not training. You need wisdom to deal with all these things. Unless you are mindful and aware, you cannot deal with sense data or external phenomena, because we are a human being. We are not a dead log or a dead wood. We have our senses. We can arise all the respective seeing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. So all these senses are endowed in us for us to live life, to experience life, to have the ability to be aware, to be conscious of the beautiful phenomenon of life, of existence. Why can't you use it for understanding and living and create all this useful application of consciousness? But human beings instead, when consciousness arises, they go and stir their mind, react, think and create problem instead of living life, instead of be with the moment to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. This is what meditation is. When you understand, when you can meditate, your mind is so beautiful, then you have this ability. But if you don't train your mind, you don't meditate, you don't know what awareness is, you don't know what sati is, you will become heedless. You will think a lot. The mental hindrance will be there. When the mental hindrance are there, it will condition evil roots that will make you evil and condition your affliction, karmic negativity, leading to suffering. That's what the teaching is all about. The first noble truth of dukkha. So when you understand all this, then don't be gullible. Don't just read and gullibly try to use your Dhamma knowledge to try to achieve all this. You can't. You need to have understanding to train, to cultivate. I will read on, maybe you will understand more. Among the mind-right sentient beings, there is much ignorance. This is very true. To go among people and transform them, we must first eliminate our own ignorance. This is very true. You can't even handle your own ignorance and delusion. How can you teach people? How can you help people? So our wisdom has to be developed until it shines forth. It can shine forth. This is the only way we can transform ourselves and others. That's why here the author just mentioned this, but he never explained how this can be realized and developed. The word, we must first eliminate our ignorance. That word, that sentence itself is so major. How can you eliminate your ignorance if you do not develop the wisdom and the cultivation? And that itself is a big function of the cultivation to arise that type of realization. Unless you really cultivate and awaken, that wisdom cannot shine forth. So this one, this Pahimaya, the bigger lover. This is the only way we can transform ourselves and others. This is very true. That's why you need to cultivate. This is how the ignorant develops the heart of wisdom. So this one involves the cultivation, the whole of the cultivation process. For instance, in Indonesia, there is a luxurious residential area called Kelapa Gading. A city commissioner hoped to benefit the local resident. So she helped open up a Jingshi bookstore in the community to provide the opportunity and space for people to read wholesome books, because Jingshi aphorisms are short and simple. They are easy to translate and promote. They become very popular among the Indonesian readers. And there were some people who came to the bookstore every day to read them. Among them was Miss Devi, or Dewey, who is about 30 years old. She had had a difficult childhood, and although she was currently financially stable, she was unable to let go of her unpleasant memory, so her heart was filled with resentment and unhappiness. When Miss Dewey was 5 years old, her father abandoned the family and left her and her mother with a lot of debts and a half-built house. Fortunately, her mother was strong. She had strong will and make a living by selling hand-dyed shirts. They were able to pay off the debt and finish building the house. Miss Dewey was mature for her age and willingly helped her mother. A few years later, her father sent a letter telling them that he had moved to another island, remarried and started a new family. Her mother could not bear this devastating news, so she sold the newly finished house, took the money and ran away, abandoning her daughter. Miss Dewey was still young at the time, so she went to live with her aunt and uncles. She was passed from household to household and was not treated well. She had to work while she was still in school, and her relative demand that she turn half of her earning over to them. When she was the legal age, she finally left her relative's home, found a job to support herself, and met a good partner. After she was married, she and her husband managed their household finance carefully and lived a comfortable life. At one point, her father asked someone to relay to her his wish for them to meet and reunite. Her response was, "I was never raised by a father, so I had no father." She was unwilling to have any communication with him at all. When she would occasionally meet with her relative, they would feel resentful whenever they mentioned her father's name. No matter how her relative tried to persuade her, she was not able to let go of her anger. After coming into the Ciji or Jingshi bookstore of Ciji, she joined a Ciji book study group. We call it Dhamma study group. As a result of Ciji volunteers explaining the Jingshi aphorism, she began to understand their meaning and was deeply touched by the words. Just like that, her life began to change. She not only resolved to become a volunteer, she also proactively took on the responsibility of soliciting donation. When she read the aphorism, "If we can joyfully accept the karmic obstacle that we brought from previous life, then we may experience lighter retribution from our severe karma." So this Jingshi, the Ciji aphorism, is very good. This word is very important. If we can joyfully, means what? Without anger, without resentment, without unhappy thought, accept the karmic obstacle. Means your karmic obstacle is your karmic fortune, very likely for this lady, because she did what her father did and her mother did in her past life. That's why she became the victim of these two parents that have this tendency. So that was the karmic obstacle that she need to confront. So the Jingshi say, means the Ciji aphorism say, if we can joyfully accept the karmic obstacle that we brought over from our previous life, then we may experience lighter retribution. This is very true. But a better way would be to go beyond this. I have taught you all the three ways. Because karmic obstacle or karmic obstruction or karmic fortune of any kind, when they appear, you have to immediately develop the wisdom and the right view to reflect. Because like the Buddha say, whatever that arise or happen, there are causes and conditions before. And what are these causes and conditions? As the Buddha say, we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditions supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So whatever karmic obstacle or karmic thing that arise, it must be from our past, from what we have done. If you know that is the situation, then what must you do? You must resolve this amicably. There is no more questioning like, why me? This is unfair. Why other people don't have to go through this? Why me? Why is God so? So all this is not relevant. These are not the reality. The reality is it happened. You should ask why it happened to you, not to others. That is more appropriate. Then you will trace back it's coming. If it's coming, what must you do? You must do what you have to do. You have to accept that this is karma. Right view to accept the reality. But doesn't mean you agree with what you do in the past. No. When you know this is wrong, you have to do what you have to do. First, ask for forgiveness, repentance. Then vow not to repeat all this. True one. to following the advice of the Buddha. To avoid all evil, do good and purify your mind so that you don't create any more of this karmic negativity. So when you ask for repentance or ask for forgiveness from whomsoever in the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly that you have caused all this karmic negativity or suffering or misery or misled, then when you sincerely request for this repentance or forgiveness, the nature's law will manifest a very beautiful condition for all this karmic obstacle or karmic condition to be like watered down or diluted. Sometimes it's forgiven because there are beings who already cultivate enlightenment. They already have that vow to forgive all beings, whether knowingly or unknowingly, from the distant past until now and into the future, who have done anything upon your nature. With wisdom and understanding, would like to sincerely forgive them all and may this karmic obstruction be resolved amicably from that moment onward. So all this vow which cultivator has developed, even myself have developed, as long as you ask for forgiveness, even from the Triple Gem, immediately all this severe karmic, they have been like neutralized. That's why there's a turnaround and the karmic obstruction will be like broken. If not broken also, it will be like what they use the word here, resolve. Maybe not completely. The word they use here is you will experience lighter retribution from your severe karma. And this is very true, because before you ask for forgiveness or repentance, I realized nobody can approach them. Nobody can even come near to them to talk to them. Some of the karmic obstruction are so severe and they won't be listening. Just like this lady, after what she experienced, she will not listen. She don't care, because to her, this is what you all have done to me. And now I was not raised by a father. Very logical. As such, I got no father. That's how the thought will go. But this way, it will make her miserable. That's why she said she don't have the peace. She felt unhappy all the time whenever she recall her past, because her life was like that. But with this coming understanding, you can resolve it. And what I teach you is so much better than what the author suggests here. So what they suggest is also very good. She not only resolved to become volunteer, she also proactively took on the responsibility of soliciting donation. Then when she read this aphorism, she followed the Qing Shi and joyfully accept coming obstacle so that they can experience lighter retribution. But what I teach you on is the complete solution. Ask for forgiveness to break the karmic obstruction. That one very important. Then vow not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha. When you follow the advice of the Buddha, that why all you will do good and purify the mind, you are cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. You are building your own parami, your own merits. Yeah. Your own wholesomeness and goodness. Then the last one is to invoke power of merits. By the power of whatever merits and wholesomeness that you have developed ever since the day you understand this teaching, may it arise a causes and condition for you to overcome whatever karmic thing that you want to overcome, or recover from your whatever sickness or disease, or blessings for your loved one or whoever. May they recover to good mind state so that they can continue on with their good life. So all these are skillful means to invoke our merits for turnaround, for recovery. So this I have used a lot and I have helped many people. So you can apply this. Yeah? It will be applicable for all occasions. Okay? I already done. She suddenly felt that these words were speaking directly to her. She thought my father and I had a negative karmic connection in this life. Perhaps due to karma we create in previous life. Huh? This is good understanding. Why can't I accept his attempt to connect and let go of the hatred in my heart? So that's what she did. Reflecting on her past resentment towards her father, she finally came around and asked her relative for his contact information. She called her father to repent, cutting off communication. And her father also apologized to her. Both of them opened their heart and were able to resolve their issue. So this is very beautiful and amicable. Then no more misunderstanding, no more hatred, no more of this negativity of karmic repercussion. Later on, she shared her story with everyone at the Jingshi bookshop. Everyone who heard her sharing was moved to tears, and all of them resolved to learn from her by applying Jingshi aphorism in their own daily life. Thus making use of the treasure trove of wisdom stored in our own mind. So this is very beautiful. The other thing that I want to add is, you see, when you hold on to your hatred, your resentment, your unhappiness, it's an evil root. It will make you evil, unhappy, the lack of peace and all those things. So the only way to root it out is, like I always say, when you can forgive, you free yourself. Just like forgive and forget, you free yourself. Because when you can forgive with understanding, means you resolve this thing amicably, then you don't have to hold on to it anymore because you have the right view. It's karmic. So karmic started by our own foolish, deluded action in the past. Otherwise, we won't be the victim. So if you don't want to continue this coming repercussion into the future, we better resolve it in the here and the now, this life, so that this thing won't perpetuate or continue. We call it the coming repercussion, repeating itself, repercutting. So all this understanding are very important, very beautiful. Every person's mind has inherent wisdom. It is just that it is often covered by ignorance, which is very true. Yeah. Because of avijja, ignorance, that clouded the true mind. The silent mind, which is our inherent nature, our true nature. That's why that mind is lost, and because of that delusion, condition, wrong thought, mundane thinking that has the evil roots, that's how we create negativity of karma, commit negativity and become afflicted. So the law of dependent origination starts from avijja. So ignorance is a major problem. You must root out ignorance, otherwise you suffer. And ignorance is not easy to root out unless you have right understanding, right view, and enlightenment. If we change our mindset by developing an open heart and pure thought, we can eliminate our ignorance and reveal our pure wisdom. So this one is a type of cultivation. Of course, I will still repeat. It's easier said than done. The word EV change our mindset means what? Straighten your views. Understand? You can straighten your view to root out wrong view, wrong thought, and ignorance. By developing an open heart and a pure thought, means you open up your heart, have a free mind, then this thought, which is from the free mind, do not have duality. It is just understanding, virtue, wisdom. That's why it's called the wholesome thought, the pure thought. When we have virtue, we are incapable of negativity. And then only you can eliminate your ignorance and reveal your pure wisdom or pure nature. So this is beautiful. When we give rise to an unwholesome thought, that thought destroys the seeds of goodness. When we give rise to a wholesome thought, that thought destroys countless evil thoughts. So this is very easy to understand, but it's not easy to cultivate, to put it into practice. Because heedless person or people with ignorance and delusion, they simply arise the heedless thinking and the wrong thought. And these unwholesome thoughts are very detrimental to our life, because they will make you evil. It will condition evil karma. Then it will condition evil friction that will afflict you and cause you suffering, not only now, even into the future and long, long future after many, many births. Because these seeds of karma, they have a tendency to be there for very long. So when we live our life, if you were to be mindful and aware, and this one I think I will share with you, where in the early days of my cultivation, that's what I realized after a period of reading up the Dhamma and cultivating the Dhamma. Yes, in the early days, I remember, I find it very skeptical and very difficult to accept that word, living beings are mostly ignorant. Because that time, I don't understand the Dhamma yet. I was a young academic, new graduate, and I did very well in my exam and academic too. So when they use this word ignorant, I felt very funny. How can a university graduate be labeled ignorant or deluded and all these things? So initially, I couldn't understand. Then I started to study. I started to develop the understanding of it. Not until one day when I understood what mindfulness was. Then when I was able to be aware of my own mental intention, my internal feelings and emotion and stirring and reaction, then I saw, I told myself, what is all this? No wonder the Buddha is so wise. Every thought is a selfish thought. It's a deluded thought. When I came to that understanding, that was the beginning of my understanding and transformation. I realized everything I do in life during that time where I was working, I have a family, I was saying, if it's not for me, my career advancement, or beneficial to my family, or my relative, or whatever, or my raising, there is no intention to do. That's why everything that my thought arises is with the ego, selfish, for me or not for me. Then there is hardly any virtuous thought. Even when you want to help somebody, you try to weigh, why must I help this person? He don't deserve to be helped. So the thought has this type of egoic, selfish mentality behind. Then I realize it's not easy to have a moment of pure, sincere, wholesome, right thought. That was the beginning of change. Then I try to develop more understanding. Then I realize when I read loving kindness in the early days, my thought was pure, and I was peaceful, happy, calm. When I was in the first year, second year, third year, and final year in the university, I read a lot of metta. That time I meditate a lot. Then later on in my daily life, as I come out and work, I realize in the midst of life, daily life, I hardly have any pure thought, wholesome thought, right thought. All my thoughts are selfish, deluded, or with that utter behind, for me or not for me, is selfish and egoic, possessive. Everything we consider the benefits, the gain, the advantage, and all those things. Otherwise, we won't do. Then we find it, that one resists from making us courteous, kind, gentle, pleasant. So all this understanding, suddenly, my mind starts to develop. That I saw. And I tell myself, this is not life. Karmically, it's very, very negative. So when I read this sentence, we go back to the sentence, it's really very beautiful. That's why after that I change. I try to rejoice more. I try to develop the kindness, the gentleness, the pleasantness, the sincerity. Then I want to help, I go all out and help. Then I realize when I was young, I like to help people. And that was a very natural process. And I do it with joy and all those things. Then I realize as I mature, as I like become grow up, I become more and more selfish and more cunning in the early days of my career life when I graduated from the university. But when I was young, my nature was not like that. Then when I realized all this, then I was mindful and aware and sensitive. Then I start to change. I become different. I look at things differently. Then I look at karma. That's how all the teaching become meaningful to me. Then for the first time in my life, I respected the Buddha. I say, he is right. Living being, most of us, we are really full of ignorance, selfish and deluded. You can be a university student. You don't believe me, you check all of your thought process before you develop the Dhamma understanding and wisdom. They are all selfish. Most of the time, hardly any pure thought, virtuous thought, kind thought. Then during that time, it's very difficult to have sincerity because you don't know what sincerity is until you develop the cultivation. To be sincere is to be truthful, to have the ability to stay above everything. When you are sincere, you are true not only to others, true to yourself. Because when it happens within the mind, at the mind level, you cannot lie. Whether you have fear, you are selfish, or you are what, basically your own mind will know. You cannot lie. You can like deceive others or conceal that deceit or lie. But internally, if you are mindful, you are aware, you cannot. That's why from that moment I change. Then when I change, I realize the opposite happened. I cannot do things the other way anymore, the selfish way, the egoic way. It turned and become so beautiful. Unless I got conditioned, I will not try to impose things or do anything. But when I see there is condition, then I will try. After I try, if it doesn't work, then also I will just let things be. Because sometimes condition is such, certain people need certain prompting. They don't immediately get you or understand you. But after you prompt them a few times, that if there is condition, they will understand, then they will learn. Because there are people who are like that. So 2 years of what I should say, exposure to life, to relationship with all the sentient beings, my nature starts to see all the various type of different personality, character, and karmic background, and also conditioning. They come from different tradition, different maybe race, different belief systems, and some are from different culture, completely different. And their thinking is not something you can fathom because you are not used to this type of people having that type of views, opinion, conditioning, thinking, and outlook. That's why Dhamma is very beautiful when you really have the ability to go into all this. Okay, what I will do is I will stop at this title. Then the next sharing, I will continue. Yeah, this topic should be very good. And it should be very beneficial when we discuss it. Otherwise, another 5 or 10 minutes, I can't do much. Okay, I'll mark this page. So now we will open up for meditation reporting. You can also share last week sharing or last Sunday sharing, which is very good. Miss Lee Yuan.
Oh, Miss Lee Yuan, my understanding of that is like since I've not I've not developed and not cultivated to that level, I will leave it as knowledge. Because to me that is something that you can only understand that
yes, very good.
That
after you have penetrated, awakened.
Yes. Otherwise it's very much a theory and
level. Yes.
Of course
yes.
when we read that sentence more often,
yeah,
it kind of makes sense to us.
Yeah.
But how much
perception
understanding
of,
is there?
Perception of form is consciousness, whereas it's non-perception is wisdom. You are right, very true.
Non-perception is
wisdom.
Yeah, it's wisdom. I think maybe Miss Lee has start to understand it, that's why she requested for more explanation of that.
Yes.
But I do not think I'm anywhere near that, so I will not even go.
You can try your best to share in whatever way you may understand. Then maybe I will know where you are, then I can guide you. That's why later on my daughter saw the condition. She also shared. She also have her understanding. Because the main inquiry is from that sentence, you must understand what is perception. Like my daughter said, I want to understand what is perception. From there, she go in inquiry. Of course, finally, you need the direct seeing and all those things. But later on, after I discussed with my daughter, I realized there's another possibility. Not necessary this line, you awaken, then have the direct seeing, then you understand all this. It could be from her past life. That's why she said she understands this somehow, but she don't know how to put it into words to share what she understands. So I say, the very likely, the other possibility is she has developed this understanding from her past life. That's why her inquiry is very different, untraditional, unconventional. Which is good. But from the way she expressed it, I understand what she means because she really inquired with understanding, and through that she know and she can relate to what Krishnamurti is trying to explain to us. Why thought divide and create all this confusion, misunderstanding, argument, conflict, war, you know, and this is what is happening to the world. This is what defilement is all about. It comes from our wrong perception. And how did wrong perception arise? Because we do not understand what is perception. Perception is the mundane mind creation, the duality that arises when we think. Without wisdom, we will create duality. Then without wisdom, this duality will become the what we call right and wrong, pleasant and unpleasant, or sensual desire evil. They become the first two mental hindrance. Then the resultant is the reaction and the stirring of the mind that give rise to the restlessness of my agitated mind, the lack of peace. So all this can be related back to the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, to the teaching. Then everything makes sense. Then when you realize that you have to silence your mind, stabilize the awareness and daily mindfulness, then to insight into it and to awaken, to develop the what we call more penetrative wisdom. But for her case, it will be easier because of that very strong contemplative understanding could be from her past. So this is also possible, right, PG? Maybe you have that before.
Not for me, lah.
Don't worry.
Because, my understanding, from what I see, is still very shallow.
Oh, okay.
I have not able, of course, still the mind is still very restless, and of course I try to be more mindful, and especially when I'm doing my housework, especially when I'm cooking, I always switch on the our Dhamma classes, the sharing to listen.
I
find that's the best time to listen.
If I, what you do is very good. But that training is your daily religious routine to develop the, we call it listening to the Dhamma, then cultivate daily mindfulness application of Dhamma. Last time for my KBO, I drive a lot. I tend to drive outstation and long distance in the early days. So every time I drive home to Lost Star or to a place where I go for holiday, then sometimes to my work site. Sometimes my work site can be 45 minutes away. So the journey to and fro can be 1 hour plus. Then my long distance driving is normally 8 to 12 hours. So during that time, I listen a lot to the Dhamma in the car, then at home also. Then now more convenient. Now you can have MP3, you can have that player that CI gives to you. So all these are very convenient. But most important thing is to start your daily religious routine. Make Dhamma become your daily activity. It's part of your daily life. Everything you do is Dhamma. Means mindfulness, awareness, listening to Dhamma. Silence your mind to be sensitive, to be aware, be mindful, be heedful. Then do your routine. Pay respect, triple jam, religious routine, all the puja and all those things before you sleep and when you wake up. Whenever you are free, silence your mind, meditate more. When you attend classes, a lot of wholesomeness arise. So all these are very useful, very beneficial. So it's a good start. Sadhu to you, PJ. How long is it?
Because I've been doing almost daily. Because to me that's the best time, and that area somehow has the best connection, and it's very clear. I used to listen when I was driving, so now no more chance to travel.
Yeah, because
to drive around, so I
now
take it as
very, very short.
I time to listen to the Dharma.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah, can hear you. Yeah, loud and clear. Yes.
Okay. Virgil, you see, I live beside the NKVE, the highway.
Yeah.
Every day, I hear the ambulance siren.
Yeah, my house here also say.
Virgil, it is so. Luckily, I have the Dharma. Otherwise, it will be so stressful.
Oh,
every hour, Virgil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Virgil,
I understand.
Yes, I understand.
Yes.
This is the highway to the.
Correct. To all the hospitals.
To all the hospitals.
Yeah.
And this is the time, like I think Brother Sui An did also mention that this is the time where we really see the noble truth.
Yeah.
The first noble truth.
Yeah. Reality of life and existence. Very good. Yes.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah. Now it's time for us to reflect on the reality of this form and mind. How human beings, living beings, have to confront the pandemic with both understanding and lack of understanding. The one lack of understanding one actually suffer a lot, miserable. Sometimes it affects the whole family. And we have heard a lot of video sharing from these people who has gone through all this. Someone of the family member recover, or some from their close relatives and friends. So all this.
Line cut off.
Oh, is it? Oh, but we can hear you. You can't hear me. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So what you say is very true. A lot of this thing during a pandemic, you really experience life in a different way. Like you say, without the Dhamma, with all the siren running, your thought will project and you will create unnecessary fear and panic. Luckily, you have the Dhamma. Then like Sian say, that highway is the route to all the major hospitals. So that's why you will hear them.
Every time I hear the siren, I send my good wishes, blessings, and merits to
Sadhu. Very good. Your kind thoughts.
That they will get the right doctors, the right treatment, for recovery.
For recovery, yes. When you have this kind thought in future, you will be blessed by others too when you need to go through certain things. Very good, Sadhu. Anything else?
I'm reciting the Bodhisattva vows.
Ah, very important.
Like you have mentioned, the more frequent we do it, like now I'm doing it every day.
Very good.
And more or less recite it without having to
hold on to the card. Sadhu, means you have stabilized the understanding. Very good. Sadhu to you.
I feel that the understanding is so much better. When we don't look at the paper, because somehow I find that there's more connection to the words.
Correct.
Especially the four basic vows itself.
Yes.
And it's like, wow, you know, the Bodhisattvas are so compassionate. Their life is only just for the living beings.
Devoted to living beings, yeah.
Yeah, it's no more about themselves.
Yes.
There is no, like we always say, no marks of
no
self.
Mark, no mark of others and others things.
It's totally just for the cultivation. To help living beings.
Yes, to be a blessing to all. And their mind are always tranquil, still, with a lot of inner peace, inner joy, and all those things. They are very different. So what you came to realize and share is very important, very true. Maybe I explain this part first, then after you can continue. What you mentioned just now is very important, very beautiful. You see, after you have done it every day for a while, Now it seems you don't need the car, you can also recite it. But when you recite it without the car, you find that the words stand out and the meaning is very strong, very deep. Do you know why? When you recite from the car, you are still retreating from memory. Understand or miss? That full understanding is not there. But when the full understanding is there, when you can recite using your own words what this thing is, then after going through this a few rounds, it becomes a part of you. Then the words, the meaning all stand out because that nature understand, it has become part of you, part of you. And then during that time, you progress because the meaning stand out and become very clear to you. Then you start to understand the great virtue, wisdom, and loving kindness and compassion of all these bodhisattvas, all these great beings, spiritual cultivators. They are so different. It's no longer about themselves. It's no longer about like, wow, complaining to the thought, is it going to take so long? I got no time. I want to quickly end. I want to realize sainthood, arahantship, finish, job done. No more those thoughts. Because even that form of mind, as you move, especially the third stage of Bodhi mind development, when you have the ability to develop the Bodhi mind that illuminates your true nature very clearly, during that time, your understanding becomes so different. You can penetrate no mark. After you penetrate no thought, you can penetrate no mark. When you penetrate no mark, that is the most beautiful. Then later on, you will understand everything is just the way it is. No reality. That's why fourth stage, a Bodhi mind that renounces samsara. Means samsara that time to you is nothing. Although this is very long, endless eons, nothing, because it's no reality. Samsara is a form of mind arising and passing away. Then every segment, every of this, because of the vow, you keep on having the condition to come. And when you come with such understanding, you do your work with joy, with understanding, that the vow will take you along. Then later on, you will come to know, like I explained, all the vows and the special aspiration, everything that you do, is to speed up your cultivation and help you to cultivate the perfection along the way, to fulfill your 10 perfection, and finally realize that Sammasambuddhahood nature. And it's not difficult. Not typical when you understand. So this is a very beautiful understanding that you have control. That's why your sharing is very good. That's why you cannot share unless you have done that part. About no need to hold on to that card. You can also recite. Yeah, I realize you are very good at that. Yeah, chanting also same. You told me that chanting book. You don't need to look at the chanting book. You can chant. It has become a part of you because of your faith and other things. So you have that strong virtue in you. PG, make use of that. Sada to you. You continue.
Yeah, Bharatio, even like you say, when we make the vows, I vow to perfect the 10 parameters to realize the unsurpassed Sama Sambuddhahood.
When
I make the vow, I feel very comfortable with it, Brother Jill.
Yes.
I never even have the thought that, wow, so long.
Wow, sadhu. You have passed the stage of doubt. Otherwise, the doubt will linger on. Those who are not firmly established on the path, there is this doubt that still arises. Means you have passed the stage of the doubt. Very good, Sadhu to you, PG. Oh, very good, very good. Last night, you don't believe karma. You don't like to listen to the word karma. And now you can become so beautiful. And rejoice. Yeah, Sadhu to you. Very good.
Karma is still something that is very something that I I can accept it now, Bertil.
Yeah.
It's like every time we study, like what happens to, especially to myself.
Yeah.
And I see how I go along the way.
Ah.
Especially this path of Dharma.
Correct.
It's
yes.
Very clear to me that I'm meant to walk this way.
Ah. Yes.
I'm very thankful for all the teachers that I've met, yes. Especially Bertil.
Yeah.
And I can also easily say that all my past teachers have
yeah.
been great teachers, Bertil.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I have no doubt about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think it all comes down to still my effort.
Yeah, yeah, your affinity with
yeah.
all these teachers, guide, Kayamitas, and also the Triple Gem. You must have good affinity from the past, otherwise you won't come to my class. You won't meet all these people and learn all this teaching, and yet you never run away. Like you say last time, the moment you hear karma, you don't want to attend the class, maybe you just walk off. But surprisingly, you continue for so long. And I saw you went through that phase of patiently coming. Because you always sit next to Polianon, the two of you, I remember very close. And, then later on, after you start to share and speak out, then I came to know, oh, no wonder your character was like that. you have a title, very weird correct. Character when it comes
yeah,
to
Bertil, very very strong and very
yeah, very strong and very
very,
weird,
very obstinate no?
Yeah,
when,
obstinate yes not like normal not normal
yeah when my views are concerned
yeah yeah
this is how to say from young
I think
been conditioned to be that
correct you have to be strong like you say because you are a girl small size.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be bullied, and you work in a construction sector, and you have to be strong. So you have to do all those things. Then when you were young, you have your sister look after your niece. But
yeah.
it paid off. That's why you see all the coming thing. You reap what you sow. Really, now your niece really love you so much and reward you with so much. Good things.
I can see that what we sow is also what we reap.
We reap, yes.
So if we can see if we take the time to recollect what has happened in our
life,
early
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
How to say donating and generosity? I feel that is something that comes
yes,
very natural.
Immediate
to,
one, huh?
To,
very natural, and
yeah.
someone else you can
yeah.
see the friction of it, the result of it. It will show up one.
You know, like it's I come from a very poor background, but I see that even from young, I'm able to share whatever I have. I don't know how I can do it. You know, sometimes I'm even amazed at myself. Hey, you're earning only at the time when I was in KL.
Yeah.
I was only earning about 1,000 fu.
Yeah.
One of our colleagues, the daughter was born with a cleft lip. And I just give him $500.
Wow, so
everybody was so surprised.
Yeah. That's why it's from your past.
I feel that he needs it at that time.
Yeah. And
why
can't
we just
give.
Give it to him?
Yeah, you will just so, give.
Yeah, I will just give. Sometimes I ask myself, you crazy or what? You can make do with the 500 for you.
Yeah, it can happen.
I feel that it's in my nature. I think it's in my nature to
yeah,
be able
from
to
your past,
that.
Yes. And
but,
spontaneously you will do it.
Virgil, thank
yeah.
you so much for how to say for
no
your
problem.
Guidance and all. I really very thankful to you, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Steele, and all
Virgil,
that.
Yeah.
It's been eye opener, la Virgil.
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah,
part of Dharma, really.
Yes.
I hope that all of us will be serious in walking this path. It has its merits and it has its blessings. Definitely it has its blessings. Yeah. We may not be able to see it at the moment, but as we grow older, when life is at its twilight, I think that's when it's, it's more.
Then the meaning will show up, the understanding. That's why later on, a lot of you all will have the joy, the understanding when the condition manifests. Mm. Very good, PG.
Good evening, Brother Teo and all Kayanamitas.
Sadhu.
What I want to share. I would say, Brother Teo, actually, I have my second jab of Pfizer on the last Monday at 9.
Oh, wow, very good. So how did it go?
Okay, that night is difficult, brief and slight fever. And then don't sleep well for the 24 hours. What I want to say is like, because I am aware that Pfizer is mRNA type of jab, the vaccine. Yeah, and I actually, from the very beginning, I wanted to have a Sinovac many months ago. The conditions I can see is like one lead to the other, because by the time when I wanted to register, whereby my psychiatrist is working, I want to register, and that time my company is offering us a Sinovac jab. So I register with my company on the spot. And then I was waiting for 3-4 weeks and there's no news. So I was wondering what happened to the company. And I become very weird. I think I'm probably one of few that don't register in my Jatra and 100% depend on the company. And the company is also checking. And in fact, finally, my boss is actually stressed the pressure to me that I have register with my Sejahtera. So up to today, 2 months, the project tak jalan.
No wonder.
So by the time I come to register with my Sejahtera, I somehow a bit late, I got Pfizer. All my peers, friends, almost 99% of them got Sinovac. So
no problem. It's meant to be.
So after the first jab, you know that COVID-19 was very high. So first jab, myself to do. Then I was in, I am in a group of a WhatsApp group that this group is actually against all type of Sinovac.
Oh, no wonder.
All type of vaccine.
Yeah.
So every day I see a lot of those against the news or whatever. The research.
They call them the anti-vax.
Yes. So it come to 3-4 days before my second jab, I was wondering, should I proceed or not?
Don't worry, just do it.
So I find that, my mind is thinking this and thinking that. So if I don't get this, I just leave it, then I cannot go travel overseas, or my office will... my office won't let me, you know, the office...
All these thoughts will arise, because... thought projects, and when thought project, it arises fear, worry, anxiety. So that is what sankhara is all about. When you understand sankhara anicchang, sankhara bring about suffering, dukkang, then sankhara anatta, non-self, empty, not real, not what you think. So sankhara is mundane mind activity, thinking, mental states. So this is for us to use. We are the user. We need wisdom. So like the Buddha say, whatever arise, there are causes and conditions. So if we take care of karma, we don't worry. We just let things be. Then no need to fear all these things. Meant to be, will be. So you will have confidence to accept the reality of the moment and just live. Otherwise, the thought keep on creating this type of worry. Unnecessary, I use the word worry, fear, anxiety, and doubt, the lack of understanding. So what you have gone through is very good. It's not affecting you that much, but of course you observe and you saw with your awareness based on what you are capable of being aware now, what is going on, and how you weigh all those things and how you worry about this, worry about that, like what you described. So this is basically what Sankara is. Then you reflect, you inquire. No wonder the Buddha says Sankara Nichang, Sankara Dukkang. When I deludedly, with the wrong view and wrong understanding, project it, develop the fear, worry, anxiety, then panic. Then the doubt arises, everything arises. But ultimately, it's Sankara Anatta. It's not only non-self, it's empty, no reality. It's just a thought. So thought is just from memory, respond to memory. So when thought arises, who give it power to make us miserable and unhappy? It's just a thought. A thought is a tool for us to use our mundane mind, our Sankara activity. So use it. Do not worry about it. Do not be deluded by it. That is the understanding. So when you can reflect and contemplate this way, you develop wisdom. You develop. Then next time, no need to like think and create the unnecessary fear and worry. Always remember, thing is just the way it is. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Let things be. If it's meant to be, it will be. So if it's meant to be, like you say, your colleague all get 99.99%, get Sinovac, you get Pfizer, it's meant to be. I also let things be. That's why finally we decide to register, then we have our AZAC. If, like what my wife used to tell me, later on when we reflect back, actually at our age, our turn is very soon. So even if we didn't get the AZAC, a lot of my classmates, my age or younger than me, they all been given under that program, my Sejahtera. So that one is under the PPV center that recently, last few months, just opened. They are all Sinovac, mostly Sinovac. So don't worry. That's why I just tell my wife, you don't want to listen to all this anti-vax thing. Forget about it. AZAC means AZAC. Meant to be means meant to be. Then we have same day and same time because we locked in. My daughter helped us to key in. Then we got the same appointment, same time. So our second job is 2 days time. So no problem. So very good. What else you want to share?
So, Brother, actually, from this time, I can see the condition is really squeeze. I landed the time I register and I get the appointment. Government say no Sinovac.
Ah.
So I see really like the condition is like that.
Yeah, meant to be. So it's a blessing in disguise. You like never know.
Tao bei luck one, no, Brother.
Yeah, tao bei luck one. That's the right word. Yeah. Bothan siam one. Like I use the word bokalu bothan siam. It's like that one. You keep on showing it to you one.
First, my suggestion was not working all the while until when it start working. 2 days later, company offer.
Then you didn't register again.
It's
meant to be.
So finally, I got 2 days very my mind. You know the second.
Your mind affected.
On second jab, but what choice I have? I got no choice. So finally, after I decided already, I have 2 days of peace at least. I already
told
my friends and confirmed that I'm going because I'm the way I say is when I'm going. So I go and park lah.
Yeah, then you have a peace of mind. Then even yesterday, like you say, for 24 hours, you feel the side effect. After that, you are okay, you are normal. You can listen and attend the class and share all this. It's a very good sign. So another 13 days, you already can have the special privilege that the PM say, fully vaccinated 2 weeks after second jab, you can go outside have dining.
But brother, actually my worry is, you know, the long term effect is actually nobody knows what is going to happen.
Ayo, why you worry about that? That is just a thought projection. Tell yourself, jab ready, understand or not? Meant to be will be, but based on probability, the benefits is outweighing the danger by a lot. So you have to understand that. So don't want to listen to all this that people say, oh, you have this thing, foreign thing inject into your body and all those things. I tell you, you go ahead and listen to all this. You may not survive.
You may have more
problems. I give you an example, then maybe you will know. Last time in the early days, when before I went for my your last day, I remember there was one doctor who actually helped us to do the test. The what they call the non-invasive test. So he did the test. Then he realized, he said initially before I go through the full test, he put me on stress test, everything I passed. Then he did the echo, I also passed perfectly. He said, you don't seem to have any problem. But I say I was admitted to UKM, and that time I had elevation. I showed him the chart and all that thing. Then finally, he said, to be conclusive, we should do the full one, the thorough one. But I didn't know his machine was very old, 20 years old. But anyway, I paid for it. It cost me maybe about near to 3,000 or so, 2,000 plus. Then after that, he supposed to advise me. Then he told me, he said, from the way I check your ECG and your stress test and echo, you should be okay. But my son don't agree. My son say cannot. This one cannot play on phone. And you know what he told me or not? He said he himself also cannot do. We have foreign matter in his body. He said. I tell you, the doctor who did the test for you tell you this. What will you feel? But for me, luckily, I had the dhamma. I just smile at him. I say, yeah. But they all know the risk of having a foreign matter inside your body. And if your body cannot accept the rejection, can be very severe and it can cause a lot of complication. But then, later on, I came to know, so far, all the STEM technology, they have improved so much. Even the early days, the normal STEM without coating, the rejection rate also very low. Seldom people have problems. Then later on, they have the special technology of the coating, all those things, where they eliminate all the even minor chance. So when I went for mine, I didn't think of all this. I just want to know the doctor who did mine was a good doctor who is confident and have the condition. So I found my doctor. Then of course, I checked with him. I said, how much will it cost if I were to do this? He said, Mr. Teo, very straightforward. He said, depending on what type of the they call what that tube, the metal, the stand, what quality you want. He said, the normal one is cheap. He said, one of the stand is only maybe 1-2,000. Yeah. Then I said, you may got better one? He said, yeah. He said, there is a new one. They have the coating one, no rejection, nothing one, this special. And then what you mean by coating? Yeah, they have this special coating that will not cause any rejection. That means the body will not feel as a foreign matter. Oh, I say, good, how much? He said that one, 8,000 to 10,000 per stand. Oh, I say, how many stand you think I need? He said, at least 2, maybe 3. Oh, I say, that one I can afford, no problem. So I took that one and it was paid by insurance. And I did the whole thing. It cost me about 36,000, but I claim insurance. So no need to worry about all this. Of course, doctor has their own perspective and perception of views, or based on their professionalism, they have their own way of looking at things. So some, they really, because of their knowledge, they know too much, they have a lot of concern, and I don't call it unnecessary fear. They have their own fear, and if they can, they will try not to, which is up to them, because that is their individual decision based on their professional understanding. So we accept them for what they are, but we also appreciate their viewpoint and their advice. Because everyone is different. So in life, it's not about right and wrong. It's about your understanding. If you have taken care of karma, if you have developed the understanding of life, then there is nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Don't go and like be influenced by all those scary story and sharing and all those things. Because now social media is so widely shared, you receive all sorts of news, you don't know how to filter. There is this danger of fear, insecurity, and worry. In fact, there was another lady today, I received a WhatsApp from Singapore. She also asked me, Patio, what is your view of all this anti-vax? So I had to answer her in a very tactful and very nice way so that she can understand. So I told her, there is no whatever hard and fast rule about this type of thing. They have their views, their opinion, and some they hold on to that view, some they hold on to this one. But for me, it's very simple. I look at the statistics and also what has been reported. So I said, what you need to know is under the pandemic, the danger of without vaccine having this much higher chance of category 4 and 5 COVID-19 admission is not worth the risk to take, because it was about 8% for unvaccinated people to have possibility of category 4 and 5. Whereas if you are vaccinated, it falls to less than 1%. Less than 1%. So if that is the case, then why you hesitate? Unless you have physical condition that does not allow you to take the vaccine, like some got certain type of maybe allergy towards vaccine or what, I don't know. That one maybe you have to be careful. You need doctor's advice. But there are some like pregnant lady, certain vaccine is not suitable. That one you have to find out, no doubt. Apart from that, I say, no need to worry so much. Take care of karma. Because the probability of all this blood clotting or coagulating is so low. We are talking about way below 0.0000 how many percent. It's like out of 1 million injected, there is only about probability of less than 10 or maybe not more than 15, the numbers that have this complication. And not all of them have problem. They can also recover or revive some. So you weigh the benefits and the danger, then you will know how to make that appropriate decision, because not us alone, the whole world is going through it. But because they are vaccinating a big portion of the earth population, that's why they are bound to have such cases. But the anti-vax will argue different. To them is why you subject them to that risk. But they never look at the other 80%, because that one to them is he said no different one. He said, whether you vaccinate or you don't vaccinate, your chance is the same. But it's not the same. I checked through with my own classmate who is also a very good doctor. He is also of the opinion, just go and take, he said he himself also take, he said just go and take, you can have it, you better have it. So my understanding is very straightforward. So I do not have this problem of, take which one better. I don't have such problem. To me, very straightforward, whatever come, take. No need to choose. Meant to be holy. So all these are the Dhamma understanding that we can evolve from our own understanding of what nature's law is, what life is, what existence is. Okay, Polen. Hopefully you are now confident. After your second jab, how?
Okay, my second jab.
Now you fully recover. Very
so,
good.
Yes, actually, after jab already, no need to think already. It's already done.
Sadhu, that's why this 2 days you peace of mind, isn't it?
Sadhu.
Anything else?
No, Brother. Actually, thank you very much for all these years, your guidance, you know. You know, if not, I'm learning Dharma, I don't know how am I.
Yeah, cannot cope, not easy. A lot of Kayamita told me, without the Dharma, it's not easy to cope with life. Even their own relationship with their loved ones, family members, office colleagues, all, they don't know how to handle. So now like Kotlun, they are very good and very well versed in all these things. Even PG, her career on the problem. So they have benefited a lot from the Dhamma. And like you, you know, you have become very different.
But Brother Teo, throughout this time of this COVID-19, especially when I know outside in Malaysia, in the whole world is suffering so badly, the hospital condition, I have this type of feeling or thought in me that I'm
very, very blessed.
But I feel guilt when I think of those people who suffer outside, especially those in hospital or including the medical.
Of course, team. When you read all those news, not enough bed there to sleep on the floor near the toilet area, then some not attend to because they were short, the frontliner was short of people and also the hospital short of facility. So what can they do? I also read some of this. But you have to understand law of karma is like that. We are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditions supported by our karma, and we are what we are. So we choose to take care of karma. Most important, then our life will be taken care of. Then whatever happens, whatever will be, will be. So that is the understanding because they have their condition. They have their karmic background. Things is just the way it is. So we need to have understanding to take care of ourselves, protect ourselves. Then do what you can to the best. Have wholesomeness, have Dhamma. Then things will go your way. Life will be taken care of. That's why all this understanding is from the teaching, the Dhamma. And what we witness is the reality of life and existence, like PJ say, the first number two reality. Now you see more because you have social media, the pandemic is sweeping across the world, nation after nation. Then compared to those countries that are having war, like Afghanistan and other things, the Lebanon, Middle East and certain countries, we are already very blessed, very fortunate. That's why they say that there was a social media, I think a slight joke, I think. Maybe I share this, you understand. They say, like yesterday, Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, fall to the Taliban. And Malaysia also, the Prime Minister resigned. So KL also fall. But at least we still have our system, understand? We still got the Agong who will choose and elect the next Prime Minister. And this is a constitutional process which is very good and very peaceful. And so far, it's working well. So comparatively, we are so blessed and so fortunate. So maybe everything is meant to be. Okay? Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Pauline.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. 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 Oh, yeah. My daughter reminded me. Announcement. The next Thursday class. The coming Thursday class. Sorry, not next. In 2 days' time. Will be canceled where I and my wife will be going for our second exact check. So have a good vacation, have a good rest. So we take a break, so that you also can have a break, but you can continue your own at home type of cultivation, or listen to the recording and all this thing.
Hello, brother. Good evening, Ribbon.
I
我们每个人很惯用的就是忍无可忍，对，他这个就是忍而无忍 ，which is very beautiful
啊，yes，所以这八个字是很好的一个
guide 和 reference，
yeah，so the Mandarin version is
clear，yes，感恩，感恩，萨德，很好，还有什么？ 也没有什么啦，只是这个require a lot of wisdom
咯，因为你忍之际而你不觉得你在忍的话，可能要一个很大的wisdom，对，而且你还有很有的
compassion 和那个 you know 慈悲啊，慈悲才能够做到，correct，
compassion。 Loving kindness and understanding behind. That's why it's an eating yell you zhui zai hou mian. Otherwise, it becomes like suppression. Suppression. Means it's patient endurance without wisdom. You just suppress your feeling. You don't want to become angry. You don't want to become unhappy. That is not the Kanti Parami. The Kanti Parami is with understanding, with skill, with what we call wholesomeness behind. Very true, yeah.
是，如果你没有那个 understanding， 你是做不到的，做不到的，对，因为那个短暂的一下下哦，那很快就爆发了。
Yeah，很快 ，because that is what habitual tendency is all about. That is what the mind is very habitual in its reaction to sense experience. The anger, the emotion, the fear, the anxiety, the insecurity can cause people to stir their mind and become very panicky or problematic. It can give rise to panic attack too. Fear is very true. Insecurity, fear, phobia, all these are the beautiful English word to describe the negativity of mind state. So without wisdom, you cannot deal with your emotion born of wrong view, ignorance and delusion. You need wisdom to deal with this. So patience is not about enduring only without understanding. That one is not the real patience. That one is suppressing your feeling, don't want to allow the feeling to move that way. But when you do that, it's actually bottling up, worse, built up inside there. That's why a lot of people become depressed, become like enter depression, is because they keep on accumulating all this type of negativity of thought, the fear, the misery, the suffering, the unhappiness, the negative thinking, the wrong thought, and they keep on bottling this up. Then one day when they cannot take it anymore, suddenly they let go and the thing like what they call an explosion from the emotion there. It just erupt. And here that he'll form in mind will do funny thing. And become very violent or whatever. Sometimes it can condition them into very strange behavior, which is very true. That's why when you have the understanding and the mindfulness, you can appreciate like what you have gone through. Alicia, sadhu to you. Then now.
Sadhu, brother, you actually like brother 刚才讲的，我们当我们有 mindfulness 的时候，我们真的是看到我们自己。 哇，好恐怖哦！对对对对对，我都是所有的念头都是贪嗔痴，恐怖，真的很可怕。一直来就是无明，then
you start to understand that deep meaning that the Buddha meant by ignorant avijja, because all of the thought are egoic, selfish. Before you have the Dhamma, and before the mindfulness come, the understanding come, you cannot see, you cannot understand all this. But the moment you have this ability to understand and awaken, you become very different. Then you start to change. You start to become different. It's just like what you went through. 16 years of depression, you don't know what is going on until you heard the Dhamma and until you develop the understanding. That's why you reverse all your wrong view and create the right thought. Then you try to do good, you try to arise right thought, wholesome thought, try to help people. Then you start to like make it a living reality. Then you realize by doing that, it starts the process of transformation and change. And you turn around and become so beautiful. Then you develop the joy of doing all this wholesomeness, having all this right thought, virtuous thought, kind thought, gentle thought. Then you realize this make you so joyful, happy, like so fulfilling. Instead of holding on to all those negative thoughts that condition your misery, your suffering mentally, and your whatever they call physical health also deteriorate, is because of all those things. So when you start to have the Dhamma understanding and reverse all this, to an understanding, you become transformed, you become different. So you can understand this very well because you went through and you saw all this. So that is what Dhamma is all about. Sadhu to you, Alicia.
Okay, Bradio, you can hear that woman to our end class. Now, what to Bradio and Mrs. Steele?
But not like the well, from the first jab, I don't feel anything. But we see how it goes. Anyway, I think it should be okay.
好，那我祝大家晚安，谢谢。
So good night to all.
Yes,
so we will rejoice one more time, then we end the whole thing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.